WLR.
It's the business.
The Hot Desk with Mary O'Neill on WLR.
Thanks to MK Brazel, Chartered Accountants and Tax Advisors.
You're very welcome along to tonight's Hot Desk. Between now and 7 o'clock, Matrix Recruitment has published its salary guide for 2026. What's in demand? Where are the high salaries? I'll hear more from Breida Dooley. Also, the Small Firms Association has launched its three-year strategy for small businesses right across the country, including in Waterford. Director David Broderick will join me to talk about that. Well, one of the big events of the year for designers and makers is undoubtedly Showcase Ireland. It's on annually around, in and around this time of the year in the RDS in Dublin. And every year, a huge contingent of Waterford makers and designers head up to it. This year is no exception. Two of the people who are going, two of many, I might say, are Carmel Grant of Carmel Grant Designs and Polly Doyle of Polly and Andy Bamboo Socks. And I am delighted to say that both ladies have made the time to come in and talk to me on the Hot Desk before they head to Dublin, which I really appreciate. Good evening to you both.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to see you both. Welcome back to the Hot Desk.
Thank you. You've
both been on previous occasions. Polly, I'm going to start with you. I know a lot of people listening are familiar with Polly and Andy and what you do in the beautiful socks. However, for those of you or for those listening who might not know, give us a bit of an overview of what you do.
Well, I'm Polly Doyle from Polly and Andy Bamboo Socks, and our socks are very, very special. They're sustainable, they're breathable, they're super soft to touch, and they're just something that everybody should wear.
And I think a nice thing to say about your socks is that they're beautifully coloured and patterned and stripy and all those fun things. And they're available for like small, small newborn babies right up to adulthood.
Yeah, so from adults right down to babies, newborn babies. They're very colourful. You can match with all the family. So they're a great Irish gift.
Absolutely. And what inspired you to start Polly and Andy?
So it all started with my son. His name is Andy, of course. And he didn't like rough clothing and I couldn't find a solution for him. So I did a lot of research and my sister works with bamboo. And from there, became Polly and Andy Bamboo Socks.
Yeah, and I mean, you have stockists around Waterford as well, it's worth saying.
Yes, I've stockists all around Ireland.
Yeah.
I have one or two in Italy, Japan, Iceland.
Iceland? How did yes. that come about?
True Fair, a wholesale website. And yeah, so I've stockists all over the world.
That's brilliant. And of course, you're online as well.
Absolutely. PollyandAndy.com.
Okay. And this will be your sixth time at Showcase and we will come back to that because I want to talk to Carmel first. Again, Carmel, you, most people listening might be familiar with you, Carmel Grant Designs, but for those who aren't, tell us more.
I'm Carmel Grant from Carmel Grant Designs and a lot of people would know me from my caricatures. I create hand-drawn caricature gifts and wedding stationery. And since the summer, I have brought out new products. They're called paper doll books. So I'm bringing everybody back to nostalgic times. I'm trying to introduce paper dolls to a new generation, get them off their phones. It's screen-free creativity.
That's a brilliant idea. I love it. So does this kind of bring us back to the days of fancy paper and notelets and things like that as well?
Exactly.
Paper dolls kind of belong to that era too,
exactly,
didn't they?
Exactly. So my books, I have four in the collection.
Yeah.
And they come with one paper doll in the back of the book that the children or adults, they're for all ages, that they cut out. And then they colour in, they get to be creative. They colour in all the outfits, cut them out and then dress the paper dolls. So I have a pop star, a dance star, and they are very popular with the girls. I have a superhero, which is very popular with boys. And then I have a sports star who has hurling and GA and boxing and everything in it. And that's very popular with girls and boys. So I'm just trying to get kids off their phones, get people off their phones, get them to be a bit more mindful.
I think we could all do with that.
Exactly.
And actually that kind of colouring in and mindfulness became a big thing a few years ago, didn't it? People kind of realised that actually it's a lovely way to kind of just occupy your mind,
I suppose. Exactly. Well, I started doing these in the first COVID lockdown. So that's, you know, I guess that's, I was in that mindset at that time, watching 80s and 90s movies, and that's what it brought me to do them.
I want to talk Showcase now because, like I said, you're kind of part of the contingent that's heading up with the assistance of the local enterprise office in Waterford. Along with you then, we have Jack Sinnott of Sassy Jack, Jane Cahill of Jane Cahill Art, Lynn Sheed of Nature's Alchemy, and yourselves as well, Carmel and Polly. And just to say, there are other makers as well heading up. There's a big Waterford gang heading up as well. There's other craft makers and designers besides the ones I've mentioned. So, Polly, we were saying off air, you're a veteran at this stage heading up. This is your sixth showcase, you were telling me.
Yeah. So okay. I started, my first showcase was when I was only open about 3 months. And my sister made me do it. It was absolutely terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. But I didn't get a spot with the local enterprise board, but they did help me. Mm-hmm. They went, wait now, you're doing showcase. You know, you're going to need some help. So they gave me a mentor and all of that. So I've done it 3 years with the local enterprise board. And it's, to be honest, it's my favourite hall. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. There's such a buzz around the hall.
And this is the RDS we're talking about here. So, I mean, the footfall is also giant as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So there's about four halls and we will be in the Serpentine Hall, the Leo Hall this year, the five of us. So there will be representatives of every county. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun there.
And am I right in saying it's more business to business? It's not like, say, maybe Gifted or that, where you get public footfall. This is kind of stockists and wholesalers and that who are coming in, which is really valuable for makers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really hard work.
Yeah.
When I say it's a lot of fun, it's really hard work. And it's all B2B, business to business.
Yeah.
So you're hoping to nab new stockists. You're hoping to meet your current stockists, which is just as important to maintain those relationships. So it's
you're
a lot
of hustling.
Business.
You're hustling.
A lot of hustle.
Yeah. And what sort of days are you looking at then? How long are you on your stand and all that?
I think it's just 9 to 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Sunday, Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And Carmel, you were a Showcase Ireland virgin.
I am.
As opposed to veteran Polly. Yeah. So how did it come about for you then that you're going this year? Is it because of the new product or?
The new product, exactly. Yeah. I only brought it to market in May. So Showcase is going to be hugely important for me because I want to get it out there. Mm-hmm. And meet new retailers and wholesalers, and it's great for brand awareness. So I did gift it in December, and that has set me up for this. But the local enterprise office put a call out, I think it was during the summer, and they were looking for Waterford makers who would want to participate in Showcase, and we got chosen then. And that's how you apply through the local enterprise office. And they've just been brilliant. They set us up with mentors. They've been doing workshops and everything. So we've been getting assistance all the way.
Mm-hmm. Because I think as well, I mean, you know, thankfully the pandemic is well behind us. But, you know, one of the things that kind of came out of that is that a lot of people, when we came out of lockdowns, especially, you know, business people said that face-to-face meeting with whether it's a potential stockist or a retailer or whatever is so invaluable that you're putting yourself before people like that. Like, and it's good, you know, it's good to be able to do that because it makes a connection that you mightn't be able to make over a Zoom call, for example.
Exactly. There's only so much you can do online.
Yeah.
Social media is great for small businesses, but face-to-face, even at Gifted, just meeting customers, that was great for market research and getting feedback. And Showcase will be the same, but also to get sales.
Because it's B2B, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Polly, you might be able to answer this, having been there a good few times. Are we talking then about, you know, stockists and wholesalers from all over the world, or is it mostly Irish, or, you know, what sort of a market are you talking to, I suppose, when you're up there?
It's mostly Irish, but there's still a lot of US businesses. I was looking at the list today from all over the world. You'll have retailers coming in trying to find the best new thing.
And are you all kind of keeping an eye out? Do you all kind of give each other a heads up if there's like a really coveted wholesaler that you know is coming into your hall? Like?
So you can hear whispers coming around the hall and people running around. And yeah, I saw Carol's gift shop coming in. And
oh,
I was running around telling everyone.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. See, I'm well used to all of this. I keep an eye out for the certain colour of lanyard. You know, they're a buyer.
Okay.
So they, then we would have a certain colour so you'd know we're exhibiting. You don't need to talk to them. You just need to talk to the buyers. It's, as I said, it is a lot of fun. We work really hard, but we do enjoy it.
Oh, even the preparation beforehand is a huge amount of preparation, but it is really fun. And like all the Waterford contingency, we have a WhatsApp group and we're sharing stories, helping each other, and where can I find this, where can I find that. So no, we'll pull it together on, we'll be pulling our hair out, but we'll pull it together on Saturday.
Okay,
and
on
get
the day.
There.
And you're hauling your stock up as well. Yeah. And I mean, and it's deciding, I think, Carmel, what stock to bring, what's going to look best on display. All that's very important. The visuals, the optics are so important.
The visuals are very important, and getting your stand right.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a great looking stand in design. Whether I'll get it up there now, I don't know. I have the poor husband pulled in. Now you're painting this and you're painting that. So we'll see. It'll work. It'll be grand on the day. That's what I keep telling myself.
Exactly. And I do want to talk about this as well, because a little birdie told me that you've both been shortlisted because there are prizes and awards associated with Showcase as well. So Carmel Grant, you've been shortlisted as a finalist in the Best Newcomer category of the Business of Craft Awards for Showcase 2026. And Polly Doyle, somebody told me that you've been shortlisted as a finalist in the One to Watch category. So Polly, I suppose, you know, people have been watching you, you're One to Watch. So, I mean, these things, I know sometimes people say awards and nominations don't matter, but they're brilliant for awareness, aren't they?
I have to say, this one really does.
That's great, yeah.
You know, it was a really hard application. It took a lot of effort. You have people applying from all over the country, and yeah, down to three finalists.
Oh, and when will you find out?
Monday of Showcase. They'll just all come on your stand and surprise you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So exciting. Okay. But it's great for brand awareness. It's great for the buyers to see you and to take you seriously. Oh, she's one to watch.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
This one really means a lot.
That's great. That's great. And like that, when you're competing in such a big market, and like that, the buyers and the wholesalers and the stockists, like they probably are going through lists. And then like that, if there's something beside your name about being nominated or that. And then Carmel, Best Newcomer, how did this come about?
Or exactly the same thing. The application form took a lot of work, but we were chosen out of over 70 applicants from the local enterprise, all over the local enterprise offices. So we're really proud about that. And there's three awards and three finalists in each category. So Waterford has two finalists out of the nine finalists, which is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So we're really proud about
that. Yeah, yeah.
Flying the flag for Waterford.
Exactly. And it'll be the same thing with yourself. They'll just arrive at your stand and deliver the news.
I presume so. I don't know which way. I'm hoping they arrive.
Yeah. Brilliant. And then I suppose there's, you know, I mean, you're up there for a few days. So, you know, all of that needs to be thought through as well. You know, you're bringing your business somewhere else, I suppose, for a few days, Polly. So even the logistics of that has to be thought out.
Yeah. Nothing will be as hard as Gifted. Like, that's a big, big show. We have to bring piles of stock. So for Showcase, we just have to bring samples.
Okay.
And this, but it's still, it's a huge amount of setup, because you want every little bit to be perfect. Because you're putting your best foot forward. This is the biggest trade show in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you just want it to be perfect. So it gets a little bit stressful. Mm-hmm. But
For any makers or designers listening who haven't done Showcase before, whether they're affiliated with a local enterprise office or not, like, what would you say to them? What advice would you give them? Do you think it's definitely worth putting your best foot forward with it and going for it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to have stockists, get associated with the local enterprise board. Mm-hmm. Get on board with them. Try get a stand with them the next Showcase. Do it. It's a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that will stand to you once you've done it. Like, you know, the first one, it's terrifying. Sorry,
Carmel. Don't me up there,
but once you get your first shop, that is such a buzz, and nothing compares to that.
Yeah.
So when you get your shops, all the hard work is just goes to the back of your mind.
And do you tend to find out there and then if you've scored a stockist or a shop then?
With Showcase, when I first started with Showcase, you get people signing up straight away.
Wow.
And in the last year or two, it's more the long game.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see, they want your price list. They want to go off and think about it. But some do. Some do sign up on the day.
It's like Dragon's Den, but on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
Karma's nodding along.
I'm scared.
You'll be brilliant. You'll be brilliant. If people listening want to find out more about Carmel Grant Designs, what should they do?
If they are looking for caricatures, they go to carmelgrantdesigns.ie. If they're looking to buy one of my new paper doll books, they go to paperdollbooks.com. showcase.com. So great, it's very stuff. Simple like that. And can I just mention as well, there's other awards at Showcase. One of them is the Edit Shortlist that's done by the Design Craft Council. And one of my books is up for that as well.
Well done, yeah, you. So that's brilliant. Very proud of that. All fingers and toes crossed, but
exactly,
fantastic on being shortlisted.
Yeah.
Definitely. And Polly, if people want to find out more about Polly and Andy.
It's just pollyandandy.com.
Great stuff. And you're both on social media as well.
Oh, yeah. We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Polly Doyle and Carmel Grant, enjoy Showcase. Enjoy the camaraderie and the crack and the adrenaline rush of all that stress and pressure. It'll all be worth it. Thank you so much on a busy week for taking the time to come into me on the Hot Desk as well.
Thank
I appreciate
you. Very
it.
Much.
The Hot Desk with Mary O'Neill, WLR's business programme.
Thanks to MK Brazel, Chartered Accountants and Tax Advisors.
The Small Firms Association, the representative body for Ireland's small businesses, has launched its three-year strategy document, and it is entitled Putting Small Business Owner First. So to talk more about this, I'm delighted now to be joined by the SFA Director, David Broderick. David, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, Mary. Thanks so much for having me on.
No bother at all. The Small Firms Association, people are very familiar, I suppose, with yourselves as an organisation and a body, but can you give me a very brief overview of what you do and how you do represent small business as well?
Sure, absolutely, Mary. Well, the Small Firms Association represents all businesses with 50 employees or less. And that's a fairly sizable cohort, 98.6% of all businesses in Ireland. And our businesses employ just over 43% of the private workforce. Members join and we support them, whether it's by being their HR department, by giving them opportunities to attract and retain talent through our support system. There's exclusive benefits to our member advantage area and a lot around networking and things. We're also responsible for the National Small Business Awards, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen in the media recently, and we're very proud to support a couple of Waterford companies throughout that. I'm not sure if I can say who's in there this year, but certainly throughout the throughout the years, we've had many Waterford winners in there.
Brilliant stuff. You've launched your three-year strategy, so you know, what kind of motivates these strategies then? How do you kind of decide what to put in them and where to bring the organisation in the next 3 years?
Well, it's all driven by the members. Everything we do is on feedback by the members. We listen to the concerns of the small businesses, the small business owner, and then we translate that into both actions for us as an organisation. But the big thing that people see is how we translate those concerns to the government, through the policymakers, through the key stakeholders. We're in and out of Kildare Street, you know, probably once a week. We sit on key forums. I, for example, would sit on the very topical cost of doing business advisory forum. So if you just take that issue of cost, which is the number one issue for businesses, we would have listened to our members. We would have known that's the issue. We would have lobbied really hard to get solutions for the cost issue into the programme for government. And we were very successful within that lobbying. There's lots of our fingerprints in that programme for government. The Cost of Business Advisory Forum is one of those forums that was set up with this new government. We sit on that and we literally listen to our members every day, mm-hmm. and we go in and we point out what the concerns are. We highlight what the impact it is having on business. But more importantly, I think the Small Firms Association is a lot more solutions focused. So the government might have an idea of how to fix a particular issue. And we'll look at that idea and say, well, what is this going to mean when it trickles down? Mm-hmm. If the government goes ahead with this initiative or this support or whatever that may be, which we are grateful for, is it really going to make a difference, you know, to that business, to the growth of that business, to the business owner and therefore the employees of that business? And that's how we would operate. And that's, this strategy is no different. It first starts with the members, and then we're governed by our council, which is 12 small business owners. So we would have a very hands-on approach. And what has come out after a lot of hard work is the document.
Yeah, and let's talk about the document here, because it's divided into six pillars. So can you briefly go through those six pillars for me then?
Sure, I will. I think I'll mainly focus on the first three, because for the business owners there, in Waterford, mm-hmm. of which, you know, 54% of all those employed in the private sector are in Waterford are employed within small businesses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we need to support those businesses. The first pillar that we have, so there's there is six, but if I focus on the first three,
yeah.
growth and competitiveness, which includes cost, access to finance and skills and talent. For the last at least 2 years, Mary, if not more, those are the three key issues. If we look at growth and competitiveness, that includes the big issue of cost. And throughout this strategy, we would look at short and medium term and then planning for long term solutions and how we're going to engage with government on these particular issues. So there'll be a range of things. I mean, underneath the growth and competitiveness, you'd look at a productivity focused support. So for us, is the main support we think that government should bring out is a PRSI rebate in budget 2027. Can't believe we're talking about that now in January.
2027, oh my God.
Unfortunately, in my job, this is how we have to think.
100%.
So last year we did get the changes in VAT, which we were very grateful for. A lot of the businesses will see the benefit of that come the 1st of July. But unfortunately, you know, there's a lot clinging on until that in July. So for the VAT, you know, although very welcome, only about 25% of small businesses will be affected by that change. We're saying that a PRSI rebate would actually benefit, you know, across the board and would certainly help those other 75%. So that's what we talk about in the productivity focused supports. Then it's the kind of the more long term, whether it be the successful outcomes of the cost of doing business forum, as I mentioned earlier. And then we're really looking at less or more proportionate regulation for small businesses. So they'd be the type of thing that would be on growth and competitiveness. So mainly tackling that cost issue. And then I suppose more looking at the medium and long term, if there are to be changes in regulation that they don't disproportionately mm-hmm. affect the small business owner, which can happen. If a new regulation comes in, it would generally cost a large business €1 per employee to implement. That actually costs a small business €10 per employee to implement. So that just goes to show you that's what we mean by proportionate regulation.
Okay.
I'll move on to the second one then if you want. So that's access to finance. And look, access to finance, we have three pillar banks. We have alternative lenders, and we have the likes of the SBCIs, the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland, and Microfinance Ireland. Those who are doing extremely good work in terms of products, in terms of trying to bridge the gaps to get finance for SMEs. But we do see that there is probably still a big gap for certain products. And what I mean by that is, depending on where a small business is in its life cycle, it, you know, their needs are different, and I'm not sure that our finance system at the moment is adaptable to that. So if we give you an example, the two areas, it's the biggest thing that companies are looking for is for loans for working capital, you know, and that's just for cash flow. And it really is a sign of the times, not as easy to get their hands on as previous years. And then if you look, if a company is in a growth stage, if you're in that lucky situation where they need to invest in their factory or invest in maybe some equipment or the digital transition, which is also a big one, they need access to probably 3 to 7 year finance. And again, that's very, very difficult to get your hands on at the moment and in terms of going through that process. So that's what we look at under access to finance. And then I suppose skills and talent, our business owners tell us every day they're nothing without their employees, mm-hmm. but it's very difficult to first of all, get and retain employees. Certainly when they are competing with the bigger businesses around there, they do find it very, very difficult. So we look at things through, you know, expanding. For example, we run the Mentors Work Program in partnership with SkillNet that gives free mentoring to two business owners you know, over a 12-week period. Now, that's great for a business owner. You know, it's education and I suppose it's training that works for the business owner because they're so busy working on their business. A program like that allows them time to step away, take their head up and work on their business as opposed to the day-to-day of being in their business. So there's a few other things in there, Mary, in terms of a national training voucher to kind of take away the cost. Again, we're making it interdependable. So if there was a training voucher to, there's lots of schemes out there that are good to send employees on, but you're forgetting about the cost that is to the small business owner.
Sure.
So, you know, to send someone off down the country, there's the cost of travel. There's the cost of having them out of the factory or out of the van or whatever it is for that day. So we feel a national training voucher would plug a bit of that gap and therefore bring down the cost of sending people on one of the many great schemes. Your local enterprise office there in Watford, fantastic local enterprise office. Everyone is doing things, but it's I suppose bridging that gap. And that's why the focus is on reducing the cost for the business owner.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Can people get their hands on this strategy? Where can they find out more about it?
They can find out SFA.ie will give you all the information, whether it be the strategy, whether it be access to the Mentors Work Programme. And I would strongly recommend that they sign up to our e-zine there, which goes out every Tuesday, and that'll keep them up to date. We know they're hard pressed for time, so it's a fantastic communication tool. Member or non-member, we're here to help the whole small business community, and that's a great tool if they want to sign up to that.
Okay, great. And finally, I suppose, do you feel confident that the government will sit up and listen and read your strategy and take it on board and implement what you propose?
Well, Minister Peter Burke came down to Athlone where we had the National Small Business Finalists on Friday and Saturday where we brought them away for a weekend, and I asked him straight up, have you read my strategy? And he had.
Okay.
So I would be
put on the spot.
Like
seen oh,
you're
dead right.
The family business.
That's the only way to do
would.
It.
I do think this administration is listening. I do think this administration is solutions focused. And when you have a trusted voice like the SFA, I am pretty confident.
Okay. David Broderick, Director of the SFA, thank you very much for talking to me today. I much enjoyed that. Thank you.
The Hot Desk with Mary O'Neill on WLR.
Thanks to MK Brazel, Chartered Accountants and Tax Advisors.
You're welcome back. Well, it's definitely a good time of the year to look at salaries for 2026. A lot of people take January as a time to maybe start putting their CV out there or updating their LinkedIn profile or maybe just looking around and seeing what's on the jobs market. Or maybe they want to walk into their manager and ask for a pay rise based on how other people are being paid in similar industries. Well, to discuss all this and lots more, I'm delighted to be joined by Breda Dooley. Breda is the head of recruitment with Matrix Recruitment, which has a base in Waterford, and they've just released their salary guide for 2026. So it's very timely. Breda, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Mary. Thank you for having me on this evening.
No bother at all. Breda, I suppose, you know, the salary guide is always something that's of interest to people because, you know, it can sometimes put people's minds at ease, maybe that actually their pay is kind of in line with what their contemporaries are earning. But it can also make people kind of, you know, look around and think, right, could I be doing better elsewhere? But I suppose let's start with the basics. What kind of information were you looking for and what sectors did you look at with the salary guide?
Absolutely. The Matrix Salary Guide, I suppose the key message we're sharing here today is that the Irish labour market is stabilising. While it's definitely not slowing down, but there is a lot more confidence in the market compared to where it was in 2025. There was a lot of global uncertainty. And we did see kind of a shift towards the end of quarter four in 2025 when employers were coming back out to the market with jobs. And there was plenty of talk about hiring going into 2026. So salaries are broadly remaining steady. There is critical skills that are still in short supply, those specialised roles, those niche positions, especially in the areas of engineering and sustainability. So employers, they are hiring more deliberately. There's a strong focus on retention, resilience and having future ready skills in the workplace as well. So we're seeing a market that's stabilising rather than slowing down. Employers are confident, which is great, but they're being very strategic. So it's all about, you know, smarter hiring, stronger skills, long-term confidence in the Ireland's labour market going in 2026.
When you say they're looking to hire in sustainability, that's a very broad term, isn't it? I mean, sustainability applies to almost every single industry now. So are there specific industries where, you know, people are needed more in sustainability roles? Is that kind of the case there?
You are right. Most industries now have a sustainability policy, so they are required in most companies, you know, any of the bigger companies, you know, require maybe a sustainability engineer. They have some policies in place, so they need to upskill or train somebody. We are seeing a lot more in the companies where they are upskilling maybe staff in there. But in the energy environmental sector, there is an increase in demand. These special skills are like your environmental engineer, your sustainability manager. All those areas require a special skill set, because you have to remember there is a lot of EU regulation coming down the line. We have that, is it the Green Deal, that Ireland has a climate action target to reach by 2029. So there is a lot of focus, and with Ireland's own climate action plan, there is jobs being created in that area. So we do expect to see, you know, at least a 10% increase in roles in the sustainability to, you know, jobs in that area, and the increase in salaries, because it's a new area. There's a lot of skills still being developed, and it's niche.
Okay. And I suppose the increase in salaries is something that people are going to be watching. And I mean, I suppose it's a logical step that if there's a demand for certain sectors, then obviously salaries will go up, because, you know, you have to make those positions attractive. Are there any areas where maybe there's either a slowing down of salaries or there's a drop off in demand? Then where are the areas where there's not as many jobs available, maybe, or where the salary isn't as good according to the salary guide?
Well, if you'd have to kind of have to consider, we've had sharp pay inflation over the last number of years. So it had to kind of stabilize, you know, at some stage, because there has been significant increases. But also, if you do look at AI, is, you know, it's I suppose it's redefining some of the roles. So there may be positions there that are stagnant if you're not upskilling. So if you are, AI is kind of not replacing jobs, but it's certainly redefining and reshaping positions. So the demand is going to be stronger there for the employees that are upskilling in, you know, your technical, your analytical, those skill sets, because that's what employers are looking for. People who are future proof or ready for, you know, for new automations or new processes coming down. They want to hire people that have that skill set. So it's not that certain roles are reducing. It's just the roles are changing, and you have to change with them in order to kind of, you know, to be able to command those salaries and be kind of have that expertise and skill set that's required out there now.
How influenced are people by salary, I suppose, would you see anecdotally in recruitment?
Are they influenced?
How influenced, I suppose. You know, I mean, obviously, salary is going to influence people, but how much do they prioritise it over
it's
other
not,
attractive elements in a job?
It's not the be all and end all. It would have been maybe a number of years ago. A lot of people are looking for now, when they are looking to move, is flexibility. That has the company, will they offer some sort of maybe hybrid working? Do you know, is there a good work-life balance? You will see people come, listen, I'm earning this top salary, but I don't have a work-life balance. I'm working 70, 80 hours a week, and it's just not achievable as well. So the flexibility, and the hybrid working, and you know, extra holidays and stuff like that, they appeal to people as much as the salary.
When you talk to graduates and kind of, I suppose, people just entering the job market, are the salary expectations changing a lot in the last few years, do you think? You know, and are people kind of led by salary guides? Are people a bit more savvy about what they can command, especially in those high demand roles as well?
Absolutely. People are, they're fully aware there is that Pay Transparency Act that will be coming out, where you can see salaries on job. You need to see the salary on the job spec. People normally wouldn't apply for a job, you know, if they don't see the salary. It is something that is the first question that is asked. What is the salary on this particular position? So, yes, people are influenced, but they want to make sure that if they're moving into a role that are looking at a particular education route to go down, that is there long term kind of longevity in it? Will I be able to make a successful career out of it as well? And is it something I'm interested in? So obviously salaries do have a big influence, all right. But in terms of, you know, is there longevity? Will I enjoy the role? They're big factors as well for graduates.
I think that that pay transparency legislation that's going to come in will be hugely welcome, because I do think it's frustrating. Like, obviously in the public sector, salary has to be stated, but it can be frustrating, can't it, when you see these jobs, I suppose, on the likes of LinkedIn and that. And, you know, obviously the employer and the person posting the job will put their best foot forward. But when you have no idea of the salary scale, it can be very difficult to kind of imagine yourself in that role as well. So, you know, it'll be good. I think that open, transparent way of doing things when employers in the private sector are obliged to do it will be very welcome.
It will be very welcome, and it'll be very welcome for employees as well, because you don't want to be sitting, you know, if and somebody's sitting beside you and you're doing the same job, you know. And we have an equality survey, and we do see where women are sometimes underpaid compared to a man sitting beside them, and they're doing the exact same position, and the wages are slightly different. So it will be good, beneficial for everybody that you can see what's, you know, see the salary as well. And you will get more applicants. What you do is you get the right applicants applying for positions if the salary is guideline, because you can have jobs and you'll see, and the salary is way below, you know, they might have the job pumped up, but it's actually, listen, we're not going to pay that salary because the can't company might be in a position to pay it, but you might get overqualified people applying, and you're wasting an awful lot of time by sifting through those CVs. And then when you call them, they're not within your range.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it definitely helps that way too.
Absolutely. And of course, the salary guide produced by Matrix Recruitment is going to help people as well, because I suppose it ties in with what we were just talking about. Where can people find the salary guide then for 2026?
Yes, you can go to our website, matrixrecruitment.ie. There is a link to it. So just fill in that link and you will be automatically sent the salary guide. Or if you have any queries, you can drop us an email and we can come back to you on it.
OK, Breda Dooley, Head of Recruitment at Matrix. Thank you very much for talking to me. And I don't know if it's too late to say this, but Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks a million. And thanks again to Breda, to David, to Carmel and to Polly, my guests on tonight's Hot Desk. John O'Shea is on his way with The Late Show. Have a lovely evening. Good night.